Thumbs up, thank you. Our main speaker tonight is Irene.
Hi, my name is Irene, and I'm an alcoholic. Irene. Very powerful meeting. I love all the beginners. God bless you, and keep coming back. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful ride. My name is Irene. I'm an alcoholic. My anniversary is August 29th, 1988. My sponsor is Eileen H. My home group is Hell's Kitchen, because I'm a Hell's Kitchen gal. I got to get them things out of the way. I'm really nervous. I'm always nervous, and that's one of the reasons why I drank. I really wanted to come here tonight, you know, really dressed the opposite than I was supposed to. I really, really wanted to come in hot pants, pasties, and high top sneakers. Because I'm an alcoholic. When you tell me I'm to do something, I have to do the opposite. And I still didn't get dressed corporate. I had a suit on at work today. You know, it's just who I am. I'm an alcoholic and a drunk. A drunk from 10th Avenue. And I loved every minute of it in the beginning. I was 12 years old when I started drinking. The old Madison Square Garden was there. So many young people, you won't even know where that was. But anyway, they used to have rodeos then, and the circus, and there was lots of cowboys and clowns, and I loved every one of them, you know? And of course, I got a little older, and then I really loved every one of them. And you know how that happened? I found Ballantine Ale. You know, I became very beautiful. There was a wonderful powder room in this Belvedere Hotel across from the garden. And you went down these velvet stairs, and they had this beautiful couch. I laid on there. I smoked my father's cigarettes and drank Ballantine Ale, and I got drunk, and everything seemed fine. I became pretty. I became tough, because that's what you had to be where I grew up on 9th Avenue, 48th Street. If I got beat up downstairs, I went upstairs and I got my ass kicked for not beating that person up, you know, that kid up. So that's kind of, you know, the way it went. But anyway, the drinking started then. It started blackouts immediately. One time I fell asleep in the powder room and I woke up. It was like 9 o'clock at night. I was like 13 years old. You know, so that's the story, that my drinking really took me to different places, you know, and it continued for 30 years. My family is, everybody's an alcoholic in my family, you know, they say it, you know, I'm not telling, you know, claiming their disease, but they say it themselves. God almighty, you know, I was on antabuse when I was out there, and I drank on it. Nobody wants to do that. It's awful. Why I'm alive and standing here tonight, it's God, not me, and the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. One of the nights I was out drinking, I had three children at the time. I was out drinking, and I was in a bar across the street. On 9th Avenue, you had 100 bars. On 8th, you had 106. You know, I was in this bar, and I was in the ladies' room, and I came out from around a corner. And at that time, Pall Mall cigarettes was the longest cigarette you could smoke. As I turned the corner, that cigarette got shot right out of my mouth. And the sick part of this disease is I just held my lips and went, oh, and hopped up on the stool and said, you know something, give me a Scotch Sour on the rocks, please. My lips are burning. You know, very sick, very sick. While I was doing this, there was still guns going off. You know, that's just one of the stories that why, you know, why I'm alive. You know, why am I here? I used to say that to myself on suicide attempts. Why? Why? I can't even kill myself right. I'm not a good daughter. I'm not a good person. I'm not a good wife. I'm not a good mother. You know, and even the guy upstairs, he doesn't want no part of me. Because I, you know, four suicide attempts. I kept waking up in different hospitals. Four so-called nervous breakdowns. You know, I timed them right. You know, and a lot of us will understand that, you know, when you commit suicide, some of us, I think a lot of us, you know, want to look pretty, especially us gals, you know. I would, you know, put on a negligee and put my eyebrows on because I had shaved my eyebrows off all my life. And I put on this brown pencil and false eyelashes. You know, I had platinum blonde hair, you know. And I'd have these flowers all over the bed. And I'd have all the, you know. The shades were falling off the windows. The kitchen hasn't been cleaned in 5 years. But I looked pretty sexy when I was going out. And I would wake up in a psych ward. I'd say, well, what am I doing here? But it was nice. It was nice because they didn't call it, you know, now you have rehabs and stuff. They used to ship you off to a psych ward. And I liked it because I didn't have to see the husband, the mother, the stepfather. You know, they're all giving you a hard time of why you drink. You know, and I would stay in there for 28 days, and I would, you know, get a pass to go out. And one time I got a pass to go out, and I, of course, I went to a bar. But, you know, we are really good, you know, at people getting over on people. That my psychiatrist came to the bar. I got her drunk. You know, I mean, we are really, really smart, good people. You know, it was just insane, you know. My oldest son is 42. My youngest is 37. I went to AA before my 37-year-old was born because I was going with a guy 35 years older than me. He was a mob guy. He had money. He bought me beautiful jewelry, beautiful stuff, hot pants like I was going to come in tonight. You know, hot pants, boots, a beautiful fox coat, you know. And he told me I had a problem. He didn't drink before 10 o'clock at night, so he told me I had to go to AA. So I did. I went to the Times building on 43rd Street. And that night, you know, and they actually that night I was wearing hot pants and this coat with the blonde hair and the eyebrows and the eyelashes. And I came out, and boots, and I came out of this place, and they did a sweep of that block, and I got arrested for prostitution. You know? They brought me to the 54th Street police station. I knew the detectives there. They thought it was very funny, and I was really PO'd. I told this guy that I will never go to AA. You get arrested for prostitution when you go to AA. So it took me another 20 years, I think. Anyway, I'll get to the end of the story because we all have our war stories. Jesus. We all have our war stories. You know, and I was thinking tonight, coming over, you know, and I haven't shared this. I'm going to share it and get it out of the way because you're as sick as your secrets. When I was about 16, I went to the Empire Hotel with a whole bunch of girls and stuff and did serious drinking, and I passed out, and I was raped that night. And I held that secret until tonight. And why it came up tonight and why I'm sharing, I don't know, but I know I got to get it out of the way. You know, I got to kill that fire there. That's too powerful. And I drank with this man after it, you know, and I thought to myself, well, this son of a gun is dead, and I can't even dig him up and smack him in the mouth, you know, or anything. But anyway, I preyed on that resentment from Lexington Avenue. I'll keep praying. Anyway, I'm going to get to the best part of the end of my, very end of my drinking. I worked as a waitress. I worked as a barmaid, but I knew I was an alcoholic, but I was a functioning alcoholic. So I thought, you know, I never drank behind the bar. So at night, like the last half hour, I would have a drink, and then it became earlier and earlier, and then it was before I went on the bar. So I thought, you know, I got to be a waitress. I can't be a barmaid. So I've been waiting tables, like for 30 years I waited tables. And everybody met after work. I worked double shifts. That helped me not to drink, you know. If I worked 12 hours a day, I couldn't drink. I would open up the restaurant about 10:30. I'd take a 3 o'clock break, have a couple of drinks, go back at 4:30, and then close at 1, and then God knows what time I'd get home. If I got home on a Friday night, maybe I was still in my uniform on Sunday. You know, it was not a pretty picture. I had a nice, beautiful apartment, a four-bedroom apartment on the west side with a terrace and everything else. And my daughter was 16 years old, and I beat the living heck out of her because she went home with she went to this barmaid's boyfriend's apartment to get something, and he took her to the apartment. And I was mad because she didn't listen to me. You should know better than go to a man's apartment alone. So anyway, I was drunk. I beat her up very bad, and I went home that night, and I never went back. Did I think of stopping drinking? No. Did I think of leaving them four kids? No. I left them with the clothes I had on my back, and I left them with my ex-husband because I figured they'd be better off without me. Then my drinking really got bad, and that's where I was, like, sleeping in a hallway. That's where I was crawling from the bar around the corner on my hands and knees. That's when I wound up trying to kill myself again and waking up in Bellevue. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened the weekend that I went out drinking. It was a birthday party of one of the gals on the west side. And I went to this church affair, and I always made it. You know, I always thought I had best legs in town. I always thought I was the best dancer. I was on top of the tables dancing at this church, you know. Fell off the table, slid under the table, lift up the tablecloth. Did anybody see me? You know, I mean, it's insane. But that was that weekend, and I was so sick. I was just so sick. I never knew if the first drink was going to get me drunk or if the 66th drink was going to get me drunk. And that weekend, I don't know what happened. I went home. I knew it was over. I knew it was over. I couldn't live. I couldn't die. I was not afraid of dying. I wanted to die. It was that in-between, you know, that hole in your soul, that feeling like crap of what you said before, you know, said the night before, of really giving yourself a good look in the mirror, you know. I had no idea, you know. My godson at the time was 16 years old, and his dad was in the program. As a matter of fact, in this very building, they used to call it Midtown, used to have a meeting downstairs, and Kenneth, I called Kenneth and I said, Ken, the kid had told me when he made his communion and confirmation, listen, I'll take you to the meeting on the west side, Annie. Just call me Annie. And whenever you're ready. He was a young kid. So at 16, he was 16, I called him up and I said, you think you could take me to the east side to one of them meetings? Because I don't want anybody to see me over on the west side. So he did. And I came to Midtown, which was downstairs, and I thought this meeting was big. It seems it's about the same size. I was petrified, petrified. And he knew everybody, and all these women were running over to me and giving me numbers in a big book. And I wanted, like, go away, go away. I was shaking, you know. My eyelashes were shaking. I was in such bad shape. But I looked great. I had on a Kelly green coat. I looked corporate that night. I thought you had to get dressed up to go on the east side. I look great. Fedora hat, Sally Jesse Raphael, glasses, red, blonde hair, Kelly green coat, taxi shoes, high heels. And I did this. Went on the bus with the big book, and that time they didn't have the small edition, so I ripped it open, ripped it in half, because it was too big. I felt like I was carrying the Bible. Ripped it in half, and it was okay. I could not read for 2 years, but I carried the big book with me. What I heard that night was, drag your feet, your brain will follow. Because I really believed that I was getting wet brain. You know? And hope. I remember going to a meeting on the west side. In summertime. They had this big sign. It was like made out of felt. And it was a candle, a white candle on a red backing. And I thought, these people are really nuts. It's August, and they got Christmas signs up. But hope. But I remembered it said hope on the side. So that's what kept me coming. I had no idea. You know, I thought, these people are all clear-eyed and happy. I was so angry. So angry. But I kept coming. My journey has been wonderful. And let me tell you something. My life is not too good this year at all. This is a killer disease. I have a daughter out there that's homeless. And I have a son that just got out of Rikers. And I have another son in Pennsylvania that's in jail. It's a killer disease. It doesn't care, you know. So when you sit here and I see all these young people, my God, hold on to your seat. You're in for the ride of your life. When I came in, I had this sponsor, Karen, God rest her soul, she's dead. She was tough. She was tough. First, I had this woman that I wrapped around my little finger for the first 2 years. And then she said to me, I don't do this, I haven't done the steps, so you better get somebody else. I looked in the book and I thought, this woman's name sounds okay, Karen. A. Oh, man, she was tougher than me. How could that be? She was tough, but she was fabulous. I said to her one night, you know, I can't get this spirituality thing. So I had gone to churches, synagogues, you name it, retreats, ashrams or whatever you call it with the monks. I did it all. I said, you know, Karen, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Rome. She said, good, I'm coming with you. I went. We went. Never been off 9th and 10th Avenue. I went to Rome. I wanted to talk to the Pope. I was 5 years. And she said, good, you'll get an audience, that's for sure. I thought she meant, you know. So anyway, we get back 10 days later, and she said, did you find that spirituality? I said, you know something? It's in here. It's in here. It's in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's in here now. I don't know how it got there, but it's in here. Oh, she said, keep coming back. I also went back to school. I also learned out that I wasn't stupid, because I was told all my life I was stupid. I learned that I had a learning disability, and it was wonderful to learn that. I was so happy to find out I had a learning disability. I went home. I was excited. I said to my other half, I have a learning disability. He looked at me. He said, you're just finding that out. I was happy because I thought I was stupid, you know, and I went back to school, and I went out of being a waitress and a barmaid, and I'm in the corporate world. I was in real estate. This program has really given me so much, you know. God, there's so many things. There's so many wonderful things. I had to take custody of my grandchildren a week before Christmas years ago. And I thought, how am I going to do this? I don't have any money. I don't know how I'm going to do this. How am I going to pull this Christmas off? Well, I tell you, I was talking like this at a meeting. Christmas Eve, I had a tree, I had decorations, the kids had toys, they had clothes, they had everything. And I had food, and everybody was there, and we went to midnight mass. We went to a meeting. You know, that's just one of the many, many things. Another time, two of my children were hurt very seriously, and I had to, and as a matter of fact, it was my daughter, and we thought we were going to lose her that night, and I called my sponsor. And again, people came down to the hospital and stayed with me. You know, when I stopped drinking, and I drank in the same bar for over 30 years, I have not heard from one person. Not one person, you know? I'm very proud to be an alcoholic. I never thought that I would say that, but I found a way to live. And you taught me that, and I didn't have to do it alone, you know? I put my hand in yours, and you put your hand in mine, and we did it together. You know, we did it all together. We all got sober. We're sitting here in an AA room tonight. It's cold. You know where I would be? I would still be in the bar from last night, because it was cold last night. You know? And then I may wind up in Pennsylvania, because they may have a fireplace there. You know? But we're here. You know, at Christ Church at an AA meeting, and we have a full house. How lucky can we get? You know? I have 10 grandchildren. They have never seen me drunk. What a gift. What a gift. My kids got big mouths, they got to tell them. And my oldest grandson, who's in college, his third year of college, he said, "They lie, Nanny." I said, "You're right." He knows. He knows. You know, but that's my story. I do the steps. I have sponsees that I love. I have a wonderful sponsor today. I do have to talk about Peggy, my friend Peggy, who died this year. And she would always say to me when I was going to get up speaking, and I thought of her tonight, because she'd say, "Talk about your drinking." You know, so keep her in your prayers. And I thank you for my sobriety.